everyone, this is Summer. I am inserting this at the very beginning of the episode just to let you know that there's quite a bit of coughing, and I wanted to give people a heads up in case you're listening with headphones. I decided that trying to edit that out was going to be a little bit messy, so I decided just to go ahead and keep it in and give you a warning instead. I hope you enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to episode 81 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is January 1st, 2017, so Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We've got all three of us together today. We've got me, Summer, Katie, and Darcy. And this is the first time we've recorded together in months.
A long time,
and it's
yeah.
the first time Katie and I have recorded, I think, in over a month. It was the day after Thanksgiving, yeah. or the week. The Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So since we recorded last, we've had two birthdays. We have Katie and Darcy have had birthdays.
Yep.
Just a bunch of stuff. I'll let, if anybody wants to talk about things that are going on with them, we can. I want to try to just kind of chill today. So obviously today's New Year's Day. New Year's Eve was, sorry, we do have coughing and I'm not going to try to edit it out. It is what it is. Both Darcy and Katie have been sick, so I apologize in advance for that. But I had a great New Year's Eve. I hope everybody else did too. We went to friend's house and I know Darcy was telling me that she played tabletop games. We played one game, but it was called, I think it was called The Game of Nasty Things.
Oh, me more.
You know, if you've played Cards Against Humanities, or Cards Against Humanity, this is up there in the level of inappropriate. The difference is that it's free response. So, you'll get a card, like, it was like, I think the first one that we played was the first lady won't let the president do. And then everybody writes a response. It's kind of like Balderdash, if you've ever played Balderdash, which is you make up definitions. You write something and then the reader reads all of them and you have to guess who said what. And it was hilarious. It was a lot of fun. Throw in a little bit of alcohol and you had a rollicking good time. But that's really, we had a lot of, just some snacks and sat around and played games and talked and went home just after midnight.
I think we did, this is Darcy, we did about the same thing. Got together with some friends, one who is truly a tabletop gamer. I got to see his room with all his, all the different RPG systems, which was a little over the top for me, but he's awesome. And we played Exploding Kittens, and I got the Imploding Kittens expansion pack, which was...
That's the one that comes with
the Cone of Shame.
Yeah, I saw the picture of you with the Cone of Shame.
Basically, with the Imploding, what you get is you get this Cone of Shame, and if anybody at any time asks, because there are reverse cards, mm-hmm. which way are we going, that person has to put on the Cone of Shame, and you switch it so that you can always look at the person with the Cone of Shame to know which direction that you're going.
Okay.
So there's actually a purpose in it, but it's also hilarious.
Huh.
And
Eli, our friends that we actually were with last night, they got him Exploding Kittens and Imploding Kittens. So we'll have to play it.
It's fun. It's like
Eli's gotten into gaming this year.
Okay.
He plays Dungeons and Dragons with some friends, and they've played the one we got him, and he really liked it at school, which is why we got him as Codenames.
My nieces and nephews were playing that, I think, on vacation. Yeah.
We brought it with us last night. Eli told us that we should bring it with us and we might enjoy playing it. And by the time we got to that, I think maybe we'd had a little bit too much to drink to try to figure out the rules of a new game. So we didn't get to it, but that was a lot of fun.
We played, let's see, what else did we play? We played Guillotine, which is That's a fun game based on the French Revolution, and it's moving cards around. I know it sounds, it's like really obscure, but it's...
French Revolution.
Well, basically, and you're the executioner, and it's like, how can you line up the nobles so that you get the most points? And like, there's, you'll lose points if you get the martyr, and like some things, like of course Marie.
So un-PC.
And Marie Antoinette is worth 5 points. She's worth the most. There's also like the Archbishop as well. Anyway, but that's a fun game of moving back and forth. And then we played a game that was high on cute factor called Cloud Nine, which mm-hmm. was easy to learn, and a lot of it depended on how well, not just, it's, you're basically, you pilot a balloon, and then you decide whether you're going to jump out at any one point and gain points. It's hard to explain, mm-hmm. but it's kind of high on cute factor, and also, like how well you can bluff. By, if people can figure out whether you have the cards or not to decide whether they want to stay in and get the points. So that game was really, that's one I actually wanted to own.
I loved games growing up. I loved playing board games. And then I think we played some for a while after we were married. And then I guess maybe it was that the kids got old enough to want to interact with us, but weren't old enough to really understand the rules, so we quit playing. And then we got to the age where they didn't want to play, so it was just the two of us. So we haven't played in a while, but we seem to be moving back in that direction. So I'm excited.
We're getting into circles that play more tabletop games, and I like to go where I can learn some more, so I think those are really fun.
I think that's coming back in vogue,
I think, too,
is people playing games to be together and stuff. So.
Yeah. So did y'all do anything other than hang out?
We had tacos for dinner.
Yes.
And watched Endeavor and 3 hours of The Great American Baking Show.
Ooh, awesome.
And oh my gosh, I love that show so much.
This is the Great American one.
Oh, this the American one.
This isn't as good as the British one.
Yeah.
Oh, are people not as nice?
It's just a different vibe. Mm. Then we went to bed at like 11:30.
Yeah.
So that was our exciting New Year's Eve.
So let's see. Today, like I said, it's been over a month since we recorded anything. So, interestingly enough, looking at the actual knitting, there's not a whole lot going on.
Mine are all big projects. Least, yeah.
And I've been fairly monogamous over the past month or so, just trying to get some stuff done. But we do have, so we've got finished objects, works in progress, acquisitions. That might be a little, I went a little crazy. It's been a while.
I didn't write down everything I bought. I just, the highlights of some stuff.
I may not talk about it.
And some of my acquisitions were like birthday and Christmas.
Right.
And they're mostly books too, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of in the kitchen, reading and watching, and then we thought that we would do kind of a best of 2016, because 2016 has had a lot of negatives. I mean, even, you know, if you don't even take into account the election, which, you know, people have different opinions on, all of the celebrity deaths and just stuff. It's just not been a great year. So we thought we would end it on a high note, or begin 2017 with a high note, and talk about some of the good things that we have, that have had an impact on us, or, you know, whether it's books or knitting or good things in our lives or whatever. So let's talk about some knitting. I'll start because I'm talking. So finished objects. I finished, and I don't even remember what I had talked about the last time. I finished a pair of Zigzagular socks, which is, I believe, a free pattern by Susie White. And I used Marigold Gin in a BFL nylon base. I don't remember if it has a name. I think it's just BFL nylon. And You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, which is based on, the colors in this one are based on, the cover of the movie, A Christmas Story. So it was reds, Christmas reds, Christmas green, or Christmas red, Christmas green, and gray. Oh, I did talk about it because I remember talking about the fact that I thought it was a self-striping yarn, and I was so excited that it was variegated. because I wasn't in the mood for self-striving. And it ended up, it kind of spirals in this, like, I did this last time too. It will go like red, gray, red, then green, gray, red. And not, it's not a stripe sequence, but kind of spirals up the sock. And I don't,
Summer
I don't have
is
them
is making
with me.
The hand motion of a spiral.
I didn't bring them with me because they're dirty. I've already worn them. But
as a side note, we introduced my daughter to Christmas Story this year.
Oh.
And she really liked it, although she said that the leg lamp was sexist.
Mm.
So, good girl.
Okay. She is right. the zigzagular pattern, if you haven't seen them before, is just basically a vanilla sock with a traveling cable pattern down the side that zigzags. And it is a pretty simple pattern. I didn't have to use a cable needle for the cables because they're just two-stitch cables. The only thing that I had that was a complaint about these, I used the OMG heel, and I don't guess it would matter what heel you use unless you used an afterthought. I had to stop in the middle of one of the repeats to do the heel, and on both socks when I went back to it, even though I kind of knew where I was, I messed up the picking up the cable, the pattern again. And one of them I ripped back, the other one I just kind of left a little mistake. But I would definitely do the pattern again. I think I might do an afterthought heel if I did it again, just because it annoyed me that I couldn't remember where I was. Even with notes, I couldn't remember where I was. It was so annoying. Then I finished the River Edge hat by Melissa Shashwari using Unwind Yarn Company Touring DK and Island of Misfit Toys, which is one of Dana's Christmas colorways. And she and some other dyers do, I would say, non-traditional colorways, holiday colorways. They're not in-your-face Christmas. Like, I can continue to wear this, and I mean, it's green.
It's very green.
But it kind of reminds me of a Christmas tree with lights.
Yeah.
It's got, like, the dark, like, evergreen with pops of red and blue and yellow throughout it. And the River Edge pattern is a slip stitch pattern. It kind of reminds me of the Honey Cowl, if any of you have seen that. A lot of people have done that pattern. The only thing I didn't like about this pattern was the decreases at the top. Because you've got this slip stitch pattern, she tells you to pay attention and that you might have to adjust your counts a little bit to get the pattern to work out, and clearly mine did not work out quite right.
But it doesn't scream that you
didn't. It doesn't, and it's on the top of the hat, so who's going to notice anyway? But
well, I would, but...
Yeah. Well, another knitter would. But
it doesn't scream it, though.
Right. But other than that, I really, really like it. It's nice and slouchy. It's a nice weight. It's a DK, so it's not too warm because it has not been super cold. We've had a couple of cold snaps, but not too bad here. So
summer again.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the 70s. Yeah.
I'm wearing flip-flops right now.
And then it's supposed to be cold again at the end of the week. Houston, this time of year, and I get the impression this is happening all over the country too. Yeah. It's just a roller coaster. And then the other thing I finished, and I don't have because it was a gift, was a Dice Notions drawstring bag by Natalie S. Ford, and I used Dream and Color Everlasting, some scraps that I had that were kind of reddish. I don't remember what the colorway was called. But I had done homemade gifts for everybody except for Eli, and I didn't really think he would care that much. He probably wouldn't have even noticed, but I knew. And then for Christmas, Laura got him a dice set, a steampunk dice set. And I'm like, oh, I can make him a Notions pouch. So I very quickly found a pattern, and it was just basically a square with eyelets at the top and an eye cord. Very, very basic, but it turned out really great. I was surprised how much I liked this little sack. The fabric was really nice. That the Dream and Color Everlasting is they changed their base a couple of years ago, so the new base is, I think, a cabled yarn, but this is, I think I saw it's like an 8-ply or 9-ply, almost sport weight, plied yarn. And the gauge I worked it up just a really nice hand to it. Just something about it, just it was very cushy and just it felt good. But that's all the knitting I had. I did do a couple of crocheted objects. I did Fairy Firelights by Jen Sheelan using Lion Brand Sockies and a bear yarn. Somebody, I think it's the Knit Actually podcast, I think she was talking about doing the ornaments using Jen Sheelan's patterns, which is just, I mean, they're just a crocheted, actually, that was not crocheted, that was knit. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think she crochets.
No, these are, yeah, the other one I did was crocheted, but this was a knit pattern. It's basically a sleeve for a mason jar that has a really pretty lace pattern, and you put a tea light down in it, and it
oh, how pretty.
Glows. They're very, very pretty.
Okay.
And I was able to do it in a day. Now, this was a day where I was knitting on it all day long and struggling to get it finished, but I did do it in a day. I would like to do more of these, and I'd like to do some of the ornaments next year. And then the other thing I did was, so Jimmy decided he wanted, Jimmy's been doing a lot of electronics, like LED type kits and maker type things. And he decided he wanted to combine our talents and make a Christmas tree topper.
Oh, how cool. Tell him what your first Christmas tree topper was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. So, yeah, the first one, because we knew that we were going to make something, we didn't want to put anything on top of the tree. So when we decorated the tree, we put my, a little mannequin head.
The styrofoam
head with a scarf around it and the little crystal.
You never saw that picture on Instagram?
No, I didn't! I need to go back! Oh, my God!
Thank goodness I had
it. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
I went and I had a little cowboy hat on top.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it was pretty awesome.
Oh, it's the holiest night of the year.
But there we go. Here you go, Darcy.
Oh. I'm going to laugh all over again. These poor people.
Zoom in. Zoom in on it.
See, I'm probably like, what a pretty Christmas tree. Oh, my God.
So that was the first. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That was the placeholder.
That's beautiful.
And then the first thing we tried, we went to Michael's, and I ended up buying like a grapevine ball, and Jimmy had bought this, it's like kind of like tape that has LEDs through it, and we had kind of wound them, he had programmed them, and then we put them in the ball, and it was pretty cool, but he was not happy with it, so he ended up. Oh, wait, no. Okay, so we did do that, but the original goal, right, I was going to do this crocheted. I took basically a crocheted Christmas ornament pattern, but I used the kitchen cotton instead to make it bigger and used a balloon to blow it up, and I tried to starch it so it would hold its shape.
Right.
It turned into an Easter egg. And would not hold its shape. So we ended up, that's when we ended up with the grapevine ball. But then after that, actually, Jimmy decided he found a plastic star Christmas topper that we had from years ago or at some point, took it apart, programmed something. We took the LED lights and fit them inside the star, and we could control them with our phone. And it was actually really cool, and it was, my only talent on that one was fitting the LED into the star, but that was a pretty cool project. So that is another finished object. But that's all of my finished objects.
You talked about your spinning.
Oh no, I didn't talk about my spinning. Thank you. Okay, so I have two skeins here. The first one I finished is Three Waters Farm Storm Clouds Over Flowers and 100% Polworth. And this is kind of a pastel rainbowy
that's really pretty.
Color with kind of a blue gray. Kind of, yeah, this was one skein. I didn't I didn't have two that I applied together. Yeah, it has this gray. So it actually does, I mean, if you look at it, it looks like dark clouds, like, you know, especially like when the light is just right and the storm clouds look blue. It's like that color with the pops of flower colors. And that actually turned out really well. It's nice and squishy. And then, let's see. I got 386 yards of that one. And it's probably, that's probably a DK. I'm really bad at determining the weights of my spinning. I don't trust the little wraps.
The whips.
Yeah, I don't think that really gives a good estimate. But the other one I finished is Fragus Fibers in Redwood Forest. This is one of the ones I got at Yellow Rose last year.
Oh, okay.
And this was, it's Merino and Sparkle, I think is what the label says. And the Sparkle, it's not like Stellina. It's, the Sparkle itself is draftable. If you go back and listen to probably around this time last year, maybe a little earlier, I spun up a skein for Katie out of the same base for her birthday last year that she had bought at Stitches. But this one, the Sparkle, it's just really strange because it drafts just like any other fiber. And then what you end up with is this sheen. It kind of, it feels like silk, like a merino silk blend. And I haven't actually, I have washed this one, but I haven't measured it, so I don't know how much I got. But I would bet it's probably a little under 400 yards based on comparing it to the one I have next to it. They're about the same weight. And I think it was about 4 ounces. So it's probably close. But this one it's called Redwood Forest. It's got kind of a lot of like teals and brown, like light browns, and a little bit of like a dark reddish brown. It is really pretty. Okay, now I'm done with finished objects.
Do you want to go or you want me to go?
Go for it. Because I'm looking at something real quick.
So FOs. I only have one FO because all my projects are kind of big. And I was sick when we went to Wisconsin at Christmas, so I didn't get all the knitting done that I thought I was going to get done. But I powered through and finished my Bleeding Heart socks. It's an OMG heel toe up by Megan Williams. The yarn is Bleeding Heart by Rock and String Creations. It's a self-striping four color repeat. It's black, kind of a cranberry red, a red, and then a pink, and that stripes up. I have big feet, so I wear a size 11, so I haven't weighed the yarn to see how much yarn I used because I finished these last night, so I could count them for the whip interception for the pigskin party. So that's my only FO is these socks.
They're very Valentine's Day looking to me.
And I'm not normally, I mean, I like red, but, you know, if you look at my stash, it's blues and grays and teals and purples.
Yeah, those don't scream Katie colors to me at all.
No. And I was in a red mood one day and I happened to see that or knew she had that. And so I went back and bought it.
That's the thing I love about socks. I don't wear yellow. I don't wear orange, generally, unless it's like a reddish orange.
Mm-hmm.
But you can put anything on your feet. Yeah, I mean, like, especially, like, those days you're wearing black, and you're putting, like, this pop of,
right.
like, neon, and it just makes me feel happy.
And I think I'm finally getting in my head that, you know, I think the first couple socks I did were plain. I'm like, oh my gosh, all the socks I have to do from now on have to be, like, super fancy lace and, like, no, you know, the ones that I end up wearing are the plain ones. So
the yarn speak.
Right.
That's, yeah.
So I have a lot of just plain socks, and I'm just going to do a lot more plain socks now.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
I think that's like a sock knitter progression. I think you learn to do it, and you want to do these pattern socks.
I have no desire for pattern socks.
I'm kind of in a mood right now where I kind of want to do some pattern socks just because.
Well, I think it's because I'm just getting into my sock, wanting to do socks.
Right.
And I see the appeal of vanilla socks.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't feel comfortable. I haven't found my groove yet. And, of course, I haven't actually worn or even really tried on any of these socks that I've knit.
Oh, but they change your life. They just, they feel
so good. So, you know, I could be making all these socks and they're not fit right or whatever, but this, the one heel turned out really, really nice. So I think I've managed to figure out how to do the heel pretty well now. Mm-hmm. But I turned the heel, like, Wednesday night and finished this, the rest of this and, like, 2 days, so of course I knit on the plane and stuff too. Yeah. But the second sock after I got past the heel went really pretty quick. That's all I got for FOs. Rester whips.
I am surprised I didn't do as much knitting for our knitting or crocheting for holidays that I thought. There were things that I did for me. And I brought it so you can also look at it. I finished finally blocking the Punk Princess
so
shawl. You did the eyelet shawl, which by Tempting You Designs. And it was just perfect for the Advent season because the way it goes from pink to purple. And it...
Yeah.
So it was really pretty for that. So I did that.
And that was... What was the yarn for that?
Panorama Fiber.
Yeah,
it's one of the
Saki
bombs.
It's the Saki bombs, yeah. And it was Punk Princess.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just because the purple almost goes to like a gray, and it's that one. And I've enjoyed wearing that one. It always makes me laugh because it's like I was telling Summer, it's like, okay, so you guys come and like I'm using this beautiful hand spun thing, and I'm like I made a poop out of acrylic in my stash,
and so. I said the Darcy keeps it real.
Okay, so the one thing I did do that I love to do was, I did a little gnome called Gnome for the Holidays. It's by Rokiki, and she has them in several different sizes. That was the gnome that was sitting in my office for a while, and what's so cute about it, it's very squat. You don't have to worry about safety eyes. The expression takes care of itself. It's crochet. The beard is all baubles. Mm-hmm. And then the hat, if you get a good enough structured yarn, you just kind of, there, you don't stuff it, you just kind of squish it. So it just kind of moves around and it has a whole lot of character. And I want to make some more of those. I did make a poop. I did it's the poop emoji, from Julia Bianco. Basically what I did, our church, the day after Christmas, the 26th, is St. Stephen's Day, who is also the patron saint of our church. And we always have this chili bingo. And it's one of those white elephant bingos. And our parish is so irreverent. I mean, this is the one we talk about, like, who brings in the sparkly Mary. And it's like, you get as close to the line as being of offending people as you can with the stuff that we bring. So this year, because 2016 was such a bad year, I made a poop ornament with a 2016 tag on it. And I made my goal was to make something so tacky and so weird that people would want it. And it went out of play very, very quickly, mm-hmm. which made me so happy. Although one of my daughter's friends was inconsolable that she did not get it. Which means that I'm going to have to go to a craft store and probably make some more. And I'm just, like I said, I see myself standing in the middle of the aisle going, does this look like poop to you? You know, that'll go well. The other thing that I made for the holidays. Okay. So my daughter, who's big into Pokemon, here's the nerd portion. She said, Mom, I want the specific Pokemon called a Dratini. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to make anything. Let me look on Amazon. And I looked at the Dratini plushes, and they were $80. And I said, I guess I'll make you a Dratini plush. Well, I looked at, there's several designs, and the one that looked the most like the figure was by someone, Ciro. Okay, I'm going to get a little ranty pants, and I know it's a paid pattern. Mm-hmm. So it's I spent $4 on it, which is, you know, that's not an, a cheap it's pattern. Not, that's a that's substantial.
I mean, it is a significant.
I had to really think about it.
Yeah.
And it's a badly written pattern, to be honest.
Probably not tech edited.
Well, yeah. No, because it's like she doesn't say where to stuff. She doesn't say how to fold the ears. Now, the fact that I'm a pretty confident toy maker, mm-hmm. and then I can look at a lot of pictures and kind of figure it out, and I have a very forgiving daughter, I think the final design was fine, but this is one that's like, if you see, I would not recommend this designer yeah. at all. Mm-hmm. I would probably choose. There are other ones who are on DeviantArt that do more free designs that are smaller. I would probably mm-hmm. go to those designers first if you're going to do this kind
of. Yeah, I've had that experience with some of the plushy, like the crocheted toys. I can think of two specific ones. I don't remember the designers, but two specific ones that, you know, I'm good at following a pattern.
Right.
But they were not well written. Actually, I had the same experience with one of the, when I was working on the crocheted, the ill-fated tree topper. I had started with one pattern, and I had gotten halfway through it and gave up. Because it was just so poorly written that I couldn't follow it, and it was not worth turning out, and it was more frustrating than it was worth. And that one, I think, was a free pattern. I don't think I had.
And see, I think I'd be more forgiving if it was a free pattern, yeah. but the fact that I paid $4 for it, that which sounds yeah. really petty. It's like,
you pay $4 for some incredibly well written patterns.
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of major designer patterns are in that range, and they are tech edited and they're very well produced.
And I think the fact that I also had the experience of helping someone test knit some toy patterns, which was a fantastic experience, and I still can't post them yet, which is killing me because they ended up being really cute. But and someone who's working really hard to make it work and to make it make sense. And to make it be a good experience, I think that's another reason why it just the whole thing made me angry. I'm just grateful that my daughter liked it, and that it turned out okay, yeah. and that yeah. I'm just anyway. So I'm sorry that was a bad experience, but the rest was. But at least
you're gonna
she,
run across that,
of course.
You know,
and she liked it, so I guess the result was good. But so anyway, that's it.
Okay, so works in progress. I am currently, like as we speak, working on a pair of vanilla socks, speaking of plain socks, using mustache yarn in the Sorting Hat colorway. And this is a self-striping yarn that is in the colors, all of the colors of the Harry Potter Hogwarts houses.
I thought so. As I was looking at it, I'm going, ooh.
It starts, you've got, it's really interesting because it's not just like a normal, you know, like even stripes. There is an even pattern, but... You've got the Hufflepuff with black and yellow, and then Slytherin with silver and green, and Gryffindor with gold and red, and Ravenclaw with bronze and blue. And each of the houses, it has like about a two stripe repeat of one of the colors, and then about a six row. Stripe of one of the other color. So you've got thin stripe, thick stripe, thin stripe, thin stripe, thick stripe, thin stripe throughout. And I'm doing 64 stitches on a size 00, and they're a little big. I'm trying to tweak my sock knitting a little bit because my gauge has changed. I think I had to go down to 00s, but the 56 stitches that I had been doing on 00s were too small, or they're too smaller on my my calves. So I had gone to 64. Well, the 64 stitches are just a little bit big, so I'm going to have to play with that a little bit. But so the zigzagular socks that I did 64 stitches on 00, and they fit pretty well. But I noticed that the heel, I used the OMG heel by Megan Williams in pretty much all my socks. And I noticed that it was kind of puckering around the back of my heel, so it was a little big. So for these, what I did 64 stitches for the foot, and then when I got to the heel, I moved two stitches from either side to the front, and then did the heel for the 56 stitch pattern, and then readjusted the stitches. Once I finished the heel, and that seemed to have worked really well. The only thing I noticed is that the foot is a little loose. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the heel. I think the heel the stitch count for the heel is right, I think what I will do is probably go down to 60 stitches for the foot. I have a feeling I'm going to have to kind of Frankenstein these socks and do, because I've got little feet, but my heel, I mean, my calves are heavier. So I think I'll probably, not on the next sock, I'll keep these consistent, but next pair, I think I'll probably do 60 stitches around the foot, the 56 stitch heel, and then increase up to a 64 stitch
for the ankle and calf.
Yeah, the ankle and calf, or maybe right past the ankle because my ankles are small. But so I feel like this is a learning experience. So I usually just kind of go by it and don't try to modify because I don't like knitting math. But this is fairly straightforward. I think I can do this. So that is one I'm on. I had started these two at a time, and it was just too fiddly for me. I wasn't making much progress, and I didn't want to work on them. So I moved them to separate needles recently, and I zoomed through the foot over Christmas. So I am just past the heel on the first sock. And then on the second sock that I had already started, I'm probably maybe halfway through the foot, maybe a third of the way through the foot. Then, let's see. I also, I did a Christmas Eve cast on, and I started Zuzu's Petals by Karina Spencer, and I've made one of these before, but this yarn, I'm using my hand spun, and it's Elemental Fiberworks, BFL Silk, and the Grand Tour colorway. And it's just a really nice gradient, and the Zuzu's Petals works really well with a gradient. So
that's pretty.
I started that. It's about a DK weight, probably sport to DK. And I am about, so the Zuzu's Petals is like a scarf, a shawl cowl. Like you start, like you're doing a shawl and then you join it, so it makes a cowl. And I'm about an inch past where I joined.
Okay.
And it's super quick pattern. I could, if I work on this today, it would not surprise me if I could finish it today or tomorrow.
Oh, it's so pretty.
I'm going and getting into a lace pattern. No, you can't see it yet.
The lace that goes around them.
Yeah, like the front of, like, the V of the shawl is what I'm starting on. So it'll be like this and draped down.
Yeah. Oh, pretty.
And it's super soft. I'm really pleased. This is so gratifying to knit with your hands spun. So there's that. Let's see. I'm also working on my Lacey Bactus by Terry Montonen. Also a hand spun project. I'm using fiber optic hand spun and raspberry to cream. And it's a single that I did because I don't know how to Navajo ply or chain ply. But it's working really well. I don't have it with me because that's the project that I've taken to work to leave up there. And then the final project that I have been working on is my Harvest by Tin Can Knits. Let me grab that and see if I can get it out of the bag. I finished the sleeves this past week and am now on the home, well, it's the home stretch, but it's got a long way to go. This is
that's
by
pretty.
Tin Can Knits. I'm using Blue Moon Fiberworks Targi worsted that I bought with birthday money last year. And it's it's called Hot Rod Red.
Oh my god.
And it's just a beautiful red. So
I just realized me just going, "Oh, that's so pretty."
But the Harvest, if you haven't seen it, it's part of the Tin Can Knits Simple collection, which are free patterns that are really, they're intended for newer knitters to learn different
skills
basically. Like there's a hat pattern, a sock pattern, this is a cardigan, there's a pullover, there's a scarf, there's a blanket, and then so you can learn to make like different projects, like the skills that it takes to make these different projects. So this is just a very basic stockinette with a garter band around the front and then on the sleeves, and it'll have a garter band around the bottom too. And like I said, I finished the sleeves this week, and I am probably, 7 or 8 inches down from the sleeve?
Yeah.
I haven't measured. And I did, this week after finishing the sleeves, I've actually done almost 2 inches on the body. And I've probably got about 10 more inches to go before I do the little garter edging. So, a little ways to go, but it is worsted, so it doesn't go that slowly. There's a lot of stitches, though. I picked it up, and I'm trying to be monogamous with it so that I can actually, I might be able to finish it in time to get to wear it this year. I'm not actually super confident considering the winter.
Right.
Or lack of winter we're having. If we have a cold snap this week, I wouldn't be surprised if we only have like 1 or 2 more maybe before it gets warm. So we'll see.
Sometimes the odd one will show up in like March.
Yeah, you never know. I remember finishing my boxy a couple of years ago, and it was like the beginning of March, and I was thinking, well, I won't get to wear it. And then we had a cold snap, and I did get to wear it. So there's that. And then, so those are the only knitting projects I am currently working on. I am working on a braid of Greenwood Fiber Arts Merino Silk Bamboo and Jingle Bells. I worked really, really hard to get the Fabjous Fiber off the wheel before Christmas so I could at least be working on Christmas fiber. Was hoping that I would maybe get a lot of spending time and finish it, but I got maybe 15 minutes a day. I made progress, but I'm on the second half of the braid now. I broke that piece into 2 pieces, and I could probably finish the braid itself within the next couple of days if I really work on it, and then ply it and have it done maybe next weekend. Now it's not Christmas and I want it off the wheel. So that's it. Yep, that's all my works in progress.
Okay. So, I didn't knit as much over Christmas because I was sick. Plus, all my projects are kind of big and multi-balls of yarn, so it's like, anytime I pull something out, then, you know, a cat feels the need to appear and be in my lap or whatever. So, let's see. what I have here in front of me is I'm working on my first ever sock from a sock blank. I'm using yarn sock blank from Unwind Yarn Company. It's one of her painted, dyed, splattered sock blanks. I was on the bus one day and I'm like, I need a purple sock blank. Mm-hmm. I need it now. So, you know, went to work and proceeded to...
That'll happen.
Surfer purple
sock blank. Texting me. I'm like, do you think that this is purple enough? Do you think this is lilac or this is blue? Yeah.
And even looking at it, it's still, I can't tell. I think it's a little more blue than a purple.
It's more periwinkle, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a sock blank. It's kind of got like a periwinkle blue base and then splotches of like a brighter blue, a dark purple, and green. And this is from Unwind Yarn Company. So I think it's like a 75/25. Mm-hmm. So I'm knitting just a toe up.
It's out really pretty. It's interesting pooling too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a toe up sock. I'm going to use the OMG heel. I'm doing a 3x1 rib on the top. I had gotten some new needles from Signature Arts, Needle Arts. I need to talk to you about I want to try contrast heels and toes, but I'm not sure how to do that with OMG if I just... when I get to the heel, just do it with a different color.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I've done a couple where I used the other end of the yarn so I could keep the pattern across the top. Basically, all I did when I got to, you know, I'd knit around the front for, and then got to the back where I would start the heel. I switched yarn. And then I think what I found, I did one that it didn't work very well, or I wasn't really thinking about it because I knit around, you knit around a row. So basically, when you're on that last row before you're going to go back in the round, I would change back to the other yarn.
I don't know. We'll see how if I am in the mood to deal with that or not. And I had picked some Plucky Knitter Feet, which is kind of a sock yarn. It has some nylon in it. Mm-hmm. And Out of My Hair, which is kind of a dark teal peacock blue. I had a little ball that wound up. Let's see. My other whips. Darcy's probably going to steal this from me.
Yeah, don't fall asleep.
Oh, that was so
funny. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, really, don't fall asleep.
It matches your hair.
Seriously, don't fall asleep.
This is my Sophisticated Traveler by Cassie Munsgaard. Using Plucky Knitter, Traveler Sport, which has silk and merino in it, in Lady Violet? Yeah. Which is a nice dark purple. Mm-hmm. And then, Sophisticate, which is a silk merino mohair in Elixir, which is kind of a pinky purple, mm-hmm. and it just glows, and oh my god, isn't that pretty?
That is so pretty.
Oh, and the way the light comes through too.
Did you make another? Did you make this with the grays, right?
Oh, I made it, okay. With, like a gray that had a yellow undertone and then a dark gray. So, yeah, I want to marry this. This is so pretty.
Yeah.
So, I'm working on that. There's two or three more repeats for that, and then you do a big ribbed edging. And then, sorry, I just cough that won't go away. Okay, so this is my Ohm shawl. I am to the point where it's the middle section where I'm going to be crazy and alternate three skeins of yarn. I did not take this with me because I didn't want to haul 19 balls of yarn. So the Ohm shawl is a big wrap that you could wear as a shawl, as a poncho. It's worsted weight, so you've got a couple sections of just plain knitting with some textured stitch, and then there's a section of color work. I kind of screwed up this section, but I don't care. To me, it doesn't matter, and it's not horribly noticeable. Dave's like, I can tell. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like,
only knitters are going to tell.
Yeah, I don't really.
I can't tell.
So I'm through the first color work section, and then there's a huge big section that's your main color, which will be the gray. I'm going to alternate three skeins of that so that I have the alternatings on the edges on both, mm-hmm. so it's even, mm-hmm. so it's weighted right, and then you repeat this on the other end. So that's something to start working on again. I didn't take this with me because it was a whole bunch of yarn. I only have so much room in my suitcase.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the Ohm shawl by Andrea Mowry. What else am I working on? Oh, and then it's in the other room. Always Amsterdam by Isabel Kramer. That's also a big shawl with lace and garter sections. I'm using Plucky Knitter Lodge Worsted, which is a mix of like cotton and silk and flax and merino in a color called Blueberry Sour. So it's kind of like a blurple. It's a purpley blue.
Blurple.
and the yarn's kind of tweedy, so it's really pretty. I did take that with me, but I didn't get very far because I just didn't feel good and didn't have brain space. So that's all my whips.
I'm all over the planet with my whips. The only things that I'm really kind of concentrating on, one is the simple. It's a simple shawlette by Petra Breakstone. I want to start wearing. I discovered I like wearing shawls to church, and if I, okay, and the nerd in me likes to match the shawl to the liturgical color, so which means I need a whole lot more green in my life. So I'm doing a simple shawlette, and I had in my stash, it was Colinette's Jitterbug in Gauguin, which is really, it's more teal, it's like a combination of teals and burgundies. That's so so it's just going to be a simple shawl that I can just crank out and then pull out during ordinary time. I'm also, I didn't bring it, but I'm also, I've decided, okay, so our kittens are getting into all my little sock yarn bits. So I decided I better get going on something. So I'm doing kind of like a wrap. It's from the prayer shawl book. I don't have the book in front of me, but I'm kind of doing a riff on the seven sacraments shawl. So basically every time I add, I'll do a sock yarn scrap until I get the end and then change a pattern and then add another thing. Mm-hmm. So it'll be kind of like a crazy quilt kind of wrap. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, and this will kind of segue into our acquisitions. I got for Christmas, I got the Star Wars crochet kit, and I had started on they give you in the kit enough to do a Yoda, and I'm almost done with that. But then of course Carrie Fisher died, and so I'm making a Princess Leia for my desk because. Oh, nice. For my Power Woman corner, because Princess Leia. So I think I have to finish the buns, and that's about it on her. And I guess that segues into our acquisitions.
Okay, you want to keep going?
I'll keep going. Because my birthday is in December. I got that kit, and then the other kit, and I can't find the book to it that I got for my birthday was the Marvel. The Marvel crochet kit, which has like Spider-Man and a whole bunch of Avengers, and of course.
Did you see the Santa Claus is Coming to Town one?
No.
I saw that.
Okay, so I may need that. Well, I mean, the nice thing about these little, that's like these cute little books, and then I realized it's like, I can turn these into ornaments if I wanted to. Yeah. So I could have like a whole, and I have like a Frozen one, which I haven't really touched, and I've got a Wizard of Oz, and they're pretty much easy to crank out once you get going on it. So I could have thematic things. The other book that I got for Christmas that I'm kind of anxious to jump into is Fun and Fantastical Hats to Knit for kids and grown-ups. It's by Mary Scott Huff. And it's got like really goofy things like squid hats,
cute.
And like bald eagle hats, things you would expect. But then it's got like the sushi hat doesn't like scream. I think I would actually wear it without, cause it doesn't scream, hey, I've got sushi on my head, but I think it would be interesting. It kind of blends into my love of doing like weird, that's got a cute little. And they size them differently, so like I could have
the
little Christmas elf. I know, with the little boy.
He looks like Michaela's Thorin.
It does. It does. But it's got cute hats in it that are kind of goofy. And actually the cover picture of the, it's a top hat. It's a felted top hat with bunny ears. And I'm actually thinking about doing that for Easter.
That is so cute.
Because I probably could get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
So, And the other thing with, of course, you know, Easter in mind, because we always jump ahead, is I did get, because I want to do more shawls for Easter, I picked up,
is that Lemonade Shop?
It's Lemonade Shop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a sparkle sock, and it's rainbow and clouds. It's mostly white. It's sparkly with a pastel rainbow.
So pretty.
So I'm interested to see. I haven't figured out what pattern I'm gonna, you know, how complex do I want it to be so that the color pops? I don't know yet. I think I'm gonna have to kind of like sit and look and sit and look and sit and look, and then I'll probably have several false starts.
Yeah.
But
that's really nice.
But that's where I am on that.
Okay. Who's next? Who do you want?
I can go if you want.
You go, because you actually have stuff. I didn't actually grab any of mine to bring, so
This is just part of it. So, like I said, I got a sock blank because I was craving a purple sock blank from Unwind Yarn Company. So I got that. And then I was still, I'm like, well, maybe I wasn't 100% sure if that was going to be purple enough or the purple I wanted. So I checked out Queen City Yarn, which is a new dyer. Janice and her friend Kristen.
It's Christy, I think.
Janice is one of the ladies who does the Carolina Fiber Girls podcast. They started a dyeing business called Queen City Yarn. And, Kristen. Sorry. And so they had, a purple sock blank. So it's more pinks and purples. It's more girly. Mm-hmm. And it's got some sparkle in it. The Uptown sock blank, which is 75/20 and then 5% Stellina, 435 yards. So I got that.
That's pretty.
When we were home in Wisconsin, there's a nice yarn store over the next town over in Brookfield called Cream City Yarn, and they have, it's a really nice little yarn store. It's not very big at all, and but they carry Quinson Company, Malabrigo. They had Twisted Owl.
Oh, really?
They had some. Yeah, I almost got a skein, and I'm like, no, I got three or four at home. I don't need, don't need any more. Just to...
You're using words that I don't understand.
Twisted Owl is a sheet. They are a dyer out of
Longview.
No, Texas? I meant the thing is, I don't.
Oh, I don't get it. Right.
I don't understand that term. Yeah. No. No, I'm just. Yeah. I'm rolling. Yeah. Okay.
So they have Quince and Company, Madhawk, Malabrigo. They had some Three Irish Girls. So they had a nice, they have a nice selection. And then they've got one or two workhorse yarns and stuff, but it's more like Malabrigo and higher. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go because they have Quince and Company, which I don't, well, I know Cheryl doesn't carry it. And so Dave actually got three or four, he got more yarn than I did. So I got two skeins of Osprey, which is 100% wool. It's like an Aran weight. I'm going to make a Fidra hat out of this, which is by Gundren Johnson. It's a textured, like, Aran bulky weight hat or whatever. It's got big sections of textured panel on it with a pom-pom. So this is like
some podcast I was just listening to, they were talking about that recently, but I don't know which one.
So this is kind of like a oatmeal creamy mm-hmm. color. So I got that.
It looks cuddly.
It does.
Plucky, I got a whole bunch of Plucky. They were doing stuff after Thanksgiving. So I got some deals from Plucky. Sorry, I can't. When I talk, I cough. At Cream City Yarns, I should have looked up who this guy is. I got one of these, like, little notion holders. It's like a little dish that's got the knitted stitch imprinted on it in the light blue. He does, like, mugs and, mm-hmm. and these little dishes. I don't know if he does anything else.
Maybe buttons? Did he do buttons?
Buttons or earrings or charms or something like that. And this was reasonable. This was only like $12 or something.
That's really good. That's really...
I thought I'd put that next to my chair and then stick my needle or little stitch markers that I always leave laying over there. And then I finally got my... Nomadic Yarns. I told her not to ball it up. I'm like, whatever's easier for you. So I got the Bellatrix Lestrange. Ooh. This is on the Spark Sock. Oh. So, like a wine color, a gray, and like a limey green. Mm-hmm. And then I had been wanting the In Bloom one. So it's kind of, I don't know, a golden yellow, a pink, a darker pink, and a dark red.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty.
And then Signature Needle Arts, I guess they're going to start trying to put out some fixed circulars. So I happened to catch an email or an update or something that they were selling size 1, which is 2.25 millimeter fixed circs on their website. So I ordered a 40-inch and a 32-inch in the midi in the 5-inch stocks, because that's about, that's what all the Addies are. Most of the Addies are 5-inch. And that's a good enough length for me.
What's that compared to this? Like, sorry, I'm comparing needles.
Summer and Katie are holding their needles up to one another.
About the same.
Yeah.
And comparing sizes.
I'm knitting my my unwind socks on these. So far I like it. There's some engraving on it, so the yarn catches just a little, doesn't catch, but it doesn't slide as smooth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I will say these, even though it's the midi tip, these are sharp. I wouldn't want to knit in the car or the airplane with these. That's just me, because I would be afraid of putting it through my hand. But otherwise, I like them. And I would be on the lookout to maybe get another pair or two. So far, I'm happy.
How are you liking knitting with the sock point?
So far, okay. I mean, I don't know how much of it's because it's a sock blank and it's all the color. You know, would this look different if it was, like, striping yarn?
Yeah.
And knitting with these needles? Mm-hmm. I am, I admit, purposely pulling the yarn taut.
Yeah.
Tighter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't bother me, mm-hmm. but I do hope that it will block out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm also doing the ribbing, so I don't know how much of it's because of the ribbing that it's slightly wonky, and I'm using a different pair of needles, so I'm purposely, my, you know, tension is probably a little bit different than
mm-hmm.
when I was on these, where that slid a lot easier. Plus, I've been sick, too. I've been knitting these while I was sick, so who knows what's going on. But that's more or less all I got. I mean, I bought some stuff after Black Friday, because that was around my birthday, so I bought some Erin Lane bags that she had on sale, and some Plucky that was on sale.
Let's see. So, I went a little after Thanksgiving, I guess. I think I was talking about this the last time we recorded. I really wanted some Christmas yarn, but I was having a hard time finding what I was looking for. And I had gotten the Unwind Yarn Company, her ornaments set. And that's really pretty yarn, and it's great, but it didn't really hit my Christmas fix. So I went looking, and actually, that's when I bought the Unwind Island of Misfit Toys. And the same day, I think it was the same day, I bought some Nomadic Yarns DK. Actually, maybe I had ordered that before. I think you had ordered that right after
this, and she was saying that it was definitely going to be like a 4 to 6 week
tomorrow. Right. I finally got that, but I had already started the hat that I was working on. So this one will wait for me to knit next year. But it was a DK base in the Falala colorway, which was, it's a, I guess, a speckled yarn. I forgot to bring the things that I bought, and I have a terrible memory. But it was, I think it's white with speckles of like Christmas colors. Kind of reminds me of peppermint bark a little bit, with greens and reds. It'll be pretty. I think I'll probably end up making like a Ricky hat with just the you know, just a basic pearl, we call it garter hat, next Christmas, next winter. Now I'm joining in. And at the same, so the same order, I bought a bag from Nomadic Yarns, and it was, it's a box bag with a Fair Isle llama pattern on it, which is pretty cute. And what the thing that I like most about this one, I love the pattern, but the handle she has on this bag, it's on, it's like a lot of box bags, the handle's on the end, like, mm-hmm. but it's really short. So basically it's just like a clutch. You just grab it. And oh. I didn't even really notice until I was knitting at work and I picked up my stuff to leave and I just automatically grabbed it. And I'm like, this is perfect. I love that handle of all things to like about the bag, but that's my favorite thing. It
makes it different. Yeah,
it really, I was so surprised that that was the thing that made the difference.
I'm picky about handles and how things lay across, and that makes sense to me.
But I really like that. And then around the same time, I got, there's a bird making some noise. Yeah. Unhappy Jaybird, sounds like. I got some Greenwood Fiber Arts, the merino silk bamboo that I'm spending right now on Jingle Bells, and it's traditional Christmas colors. It's white and green and red. And as I'm spending it, I'm like, you know, I could use this for like May too and do like Cinco de Mayo because it's colors of the of the Mexican flag too and the Italian flag too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Think. Yeah. That's right. So, but I'm really liking that. And then I was, let's see, when was this? This was probably last week sometime. Not last week, week before Christmas. I was watching Knit the Books, a video podcast, and one of them had a Whimsy Stitches bag that was a winter scene with sock monkeys on it. And on a whim, went to Rick's Etsy shop just to see if he happened to have one in stock, and he did. So I bought that. The sad story about this one is that last night, last night was the first time I had used it. I had stuck yarn in it. I was going to do a New Year's Eve cast on or like right at midnight. I did not do it, but I stuck my yarn in there and I stuck it in a bag with some wine and a couple other things.
Uh-oh.
And I got the bag out of the car and the bag broke. And one of the bottles of red wine broke and went all over the bag.
Oh, no.
So when we got home, and granted, we weren't at our house, so I didn't really think much about it. And I looked for remedies for getting red wine out, and most of them were, apparently you can use table salt. I didn't know this.
Yes, so you can.
That'll soak it up, but you have to do it like within 2 minutes, according to this. And then you can also use kitty litter, apparently. But all of these things, there are all of these remedies, I guess. But this, I found one that was half and half peroxide and soap. And it recommended Dawn. We didn't have any Dawn, so I did some, just some laundry soap and peroxide and soaked it a little bit. And I haven't finished the process. I haven't washed it yet to see. It looks like it did fade some. I suspect that this one is always going to be a memory of New Year's Eve 2016. It's just to cap off the year.
Zout is our go-to for everything.
Yeah.
So, Zout. It's a product. And a friend of mine who washes antique quilts uses it with that. And I think it's gotten almost everything out. It survived the kid being a baby. So.
Yeah. Huh. I'll have to look at that. maybe it's not too late. But so we'll see how that turns out.
Don't
but it
put
is
it
a very
in the dryer.
Cute bag.
Oh God, no.
No, it will. Oh,
because it'll set it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. It's a cute bag, but I couldn't give a full review because I didn't really get to use it.
And now it smells all boozy too.
Yes. I also got a Woolly Bags bag. So. Part of the on Instagram there was the Get Your Yarn Wishes Granted thing. Somebody that I follow wanted some what's the yarn? White Birch Fiber Arts, and I had a skein that I had tried a couple of projects with and hadn't been happy with how it worked up, and then I just was kind of over the yarn. So I sent it to her, and in return, she makes bags, so she asked if she could send me a bag. So she sent me this bag, actually, that I have. It's a little Christmas bag with just little Christmas decorations. It's got a snowman, a Christmas tree, mittens, a gingerbread bear, and it has a little gingerbread fabric for the liner. So just a simple, cute little bag. And then the only other thing, I did a place an order with Eat Sleep Knit last week. I had a $15 credit with them from one of their yarn lotto cards. So I wanted to spend that and then some. Mm-hmm. So I have been wanting for a couple of years some Northbound Knitting in the Metallurgy colorway. And it's one of those things, I don't even know why I want it so bad. It's like not my colors, but I had it in my head that I really wanted this. So I got a skein of that in her MCN DK, which is Merino Cashmere Nylon. And it's a kind of a almost gunmetal gray with some gold. And it is a really pretty colorway. And I think the thing is that, like, I see it in the skein, I'm like, I'm not sure why I want this so bad. But every time I see a project knit up in it, I really like it. So this one will be a hat. And then while I was on Eat Sleep Knit, I was thinking, they do the Yarnathon every year. And this year's theme was space. So I had started out the year getting some, and I had reached whatever milestone and got some little packet. And it's the end of the year, and I was 1,300 yards or something away from the next level. So I started looking at other space yarn. Oh, they had dyers, a lot of indie dyers, and not just indie. I think, Blue Moon did some. Yeah, so it was kind of like borderline indie dyers did exclusive space-themed colors for the Yarnathon. So I was looking at those, and I ended up getting... I picked out another Northbound Knitting skein in her Merino Silk Fingering in the Nebula colorway, which is a white with, like, a turquoise, and I can't remember what other colors. Maybe pink. I'm not sure. But, oh my gosh, it is so shiny and soft. It is so pretty. I love it. It's like, I have to cast something on with this. But I don't know what. So that's all I was going to get until I noticed that I was only, like, I was pretty close to being to the next level, like 600 yards or something like that. And I was like, well, maybe I don't have any lace weight, so I can buy one skein of lace weight. And also, so I got some Mrs. Crosby Reticule, which is a lace weight, in the May colorway, M-A-E. Her colorways were named on, like, scientists, and this was May Jemison, I think is her name. But it is, like, oranges and hot pinks and speckled, and it is so pretty. No idea what I will make with lace weight yarn. Before I bought lace weight, I did go to Ravelry and look at some of the patterns to see if I could find something. And there's a Martina Bem pattern that is basically stockinette with kind of like a ruffle on the end that I might, that might be
Tilla or something like
this
that.
This one was, I actually have no idea what it was called. It wasn't Nuvum because it wasn't that huge. It was like a, just kind of a wrap.
Okay.
So I have some ideas. So I'll probably do, it's because it's so variegated, I'll probably do something just kind of a stockinette with an edging on it.
Yeah.
But that's it, I think. Plenty. It's plenty. I didn't put it in my show notes, but I was going to mention. So casting on soon, I mentioned that I was going to do like a New Year's cast on. And I'm going to try to do the Just One More Row podcast. They're doing a single skein knit along all year long. And I'm going to try to participate in that. So I have a skein of Happy Feet, Plymouth Happy Feet in a red color. I have no idea. I've had it pretty much since I first started knitting, or at least probably 2008 anyway. And it's a pretty red, kind of a, it's a very, like a tonal red. And I'm probably, It's only, the skeins are only about 50 grams, I think.
Yeah, they're smaller skeins.
Yeah. I need to make sure that that's a full skein. Well, no, it doesn't matter. Because as long as you've got 50 grams of a skein, it counts. But I'm going to do probably some little shorty socks in there. I had planned to do, there's a pattern in the Socks from the Toe Up book by Wendy Johnson. It's hearts and flowers, which would have been really nice with the red. But I don't have... it occurred to me that the skeins are small. And it has to be... It can only be one skein. Or it doesn't count. And I don't have enough for that. But I might do the pattern just on the top of the foot. Just to give it some interest. Okay. So that's it. Let's move on to in the kitchen. I know... What time is it? I know... Darcy has
1:30.
It's 1:30. We're good.
Okay.
It's no big deal.
Don't have a lot to talk about, but I had enough to talk about to include the segment. So I've been doing a lot of skinny taste recipes. There's a website and cookbooks for skinny taste, and I thought I'd mention them just in general because it can be really hard to find healthy dishes that are appealing to everybody in the family. They don't taste like diet food. And I've made several recipes from her book. A lot of them are one pot dishes. She has some instant pot dishes, and then others aren't. I mean, others are a little more involved, not terribly involved, but every one I've done, except for maybe one, has been a hit with everybody in the family.
Oh.
So I can highly recommend those if you're looking for some lower calorie or a little more healthy fare. So that's a good option. I checked out both of the cookbooks from the library, and I am picky enough with onions and peppers and stuff that I don't think there's enough in there that I would actually want to buy the cookbooks. But she has so many recipes on her website, and there are quite a few that are in the cookbook that are also on her website that I think I can stick with that. I am tempted. There are a few things in the cookbooks that look really good, but... I don't think enough to spend that money on a hardbound copy.
Can you just scan it?
I might. There are a handful. I mean, there aren't enough that I think that would be a problem, so I might do that. I also wanted to mention, I think I've mentioned this in a couple episodes, I've been doing the Martha and Marley Spoon meal boxes, and I just want to say... The recipes are fantastic. Every single one of them, I think, that we've done. Again, maybe except for one, we have loved. They're not necessarily low calorie, but they are slightly less prep, than the Blue Apron ones, and they are good. The food is really good. I've had issues three times now with delivery. Two times they weren't delivered when they said they were. And what I've basically learned from that, okay, so just don't plan my weekly menu on, I should be able to guarantee that it's going to be here on Tuesday when it says it's not, but maybe it won't be. The two times that's happened, I've complained and they have comped me a box. Yeah. Well, one, they comped like $10 off or something like that. The other time they comped me the entire box because I was threatening to leave. And I mean, I did Blue Apron for several months and we had maybe one late delivery, and I've been doing this since August and I've had two late deliveries. So I was not terribly pleased with it on that front. And then this past week they sent, there had been a systems issue and they couldn't send one of the meals I had chosen. I suspect that they had listed it and it wasn't supposed to be listed for this week or something. So they comped me the entire box, and this was without me having to say anything. So that was actually quite nice. And the food, it was a really, really good meal too. But I guess the takeaway from it is the meals are really good, but kind of, I recommend them with reservation. If you are depending on them getting there at a certain time, I'm not so sure. They're about one mistake away from me canceling and trying. There are too many options now. There are so many places doing these menu or meal boxes. for them to screw up like this.
But is it the mail that's not?
See, the thing is, it's not. It's their. It seems to be their warehouse, because it doesn't seem like they are the ones that are not sending it. It's wherever it's being shipped from. They use FedEx, and I've never really had a problem with FedEx, but it could be their warehouse not shipping them when they're supposed to. So it's not really their fault, but then...
But they need to know that.
Yeah. And I submit feedback every time, because that's not cool. That's not cool. I think I've mentioned a few times, or maybe one or two times, that one of my favorite pies is chocolate chest pie. And I found, I tried a recipe on Christmas out of, there's a book that I have on my Kindle called Southern Pies. And I decided to try that. It's my quest to find the perfect chocolate chest pie that reminds me of my childhood. And this one came in pretty darn close. The only thing about it was it came out pretty thin, but the taste was like I remembered. So I can recommend that. And then I added a couple things today. I don't know if we want to do a taste test, but I have been making Texas Trash, or like just Chex Party Mix, I don't know, for years now, using a recipe from a book called Texas Home Cooking. And I hadn't bought the ingredients to make it last night, but we went to our friend's house and we had bought all of this stuff for like a massive cheese board. And brought that in. And Kathy told me, she's like, this sounds great. I just want to tell you, I told David. And he's like, oh, that sounds great. I'm really going to miss her Chex Mix. So we went to Kroger and bought the ingredients for the Chex Mix. So I brought a little bit if anyone wants to have some. It's good. It's like crack. The stuff is so addictive. And I only brought a little bit because Eli loves it. And I hadn't made it in a while, so I left most of it there so that he could have some when he gets home. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was Deep Eddy Lemon Vodka. Because that stuff is amazing. When we were at Into the Wool, Tania, who is TW Crochet Knit 86 or something. I can't remember all of the numbers. It auto completes when I put it in. But she's Tania, and she's on Instagram. She's friends with lots of knitters, so you may know her. She had Deep Eddy lemon vodka and lemonade, and it looked so good. And then she had posted a picture. I think she was doing swaps, and she had the little mini like airplane bottles that she was sending to someone for a swap. So I knew that they existed. So yesterday we went to Specs to buy cheese, and I'm like, oh, I want to see if they have it. So I ended up buying one bottle of the lemon vodka, one of ruby red grapefruit, and one of peach. And the Deep Eddy lemon vodka was so good. It was good enough. I could have had it on the rocks.
It was nice and sour.
and sweet enough that I could have done that. But I ended up mixing it with San Pellegrino, and it was delicious. The ruby red, I could not have had it by itself. I took one sip, and the look apparently was priceless on my face. Yeah. It was not good. But I mixed it with Sprite, and it was okay.
Was it too sour? Or?
It was the grapefruit bitter, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it was okay with Sprite. And then I haven't tried the peach yet, but I think that would be good with orange juice. It would be kind of like a fuzzy navel.
I haven't had a fuzzy navel.
I know. That was my go-to drink at one point in college. But I will probably end up buying a whole bottle of the Deep Eddy Lemon Vodka. It was that good. And I had forgotten how much I like vodka. I remembered this morning why I don't drink a whole lot of vodka. It was the first time I'd woken up with a headache from alcohol in a very long time. But don't worry, I was not driving.
On the vein of alcoholic drinks, my husband, can't remember, it's like a discussion, they had something about those really dark maraschino cherries. Mm-hmm. And so he picked up some and had them in some old fashions this past month. Oh. And it was really good.
Yum.
It was just like the perfect end.
Speaking of chocolate dark, I brought these because everybody needs them. They're the dark chocolate with the liqueur centers. I love to get these. I hadn't gotten them at Christmas. The only box they had like a gazillion. 16 pieces. And they have, it's like dark chocolate with things like Cointreau. And I think there was a Jim Beam. and some other stuff, and they are quite delicious.
Hair of the dog.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody wants any of those, I got those too.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Anybody else have any?
The only, you know, it's like I've been so bad. I remember the very first podcast, that limoncello.
Limoncello, yeah.
I think we had the last swallow last night.
Oh, really?
So I think that's, and there's been a request for me to make that again. Mm-hmm. The only other thing I did, and it's such, it's the easy thing, but it's like, it's kind of like the Chex Mix that always gets requested. I made the rainbow crispy treats. Mm-hmm. Where basically, I use Fruity Pebbles, and then I cover them with like pastel star sprinkles because I'm ridiculous. And, you know, anytime I bring them, it's like we never take any home. It went over really, really well.
Yeah.
So our house is so full of food, though, right now. It's like between chili dinners and leftover, my husband insisting on cooking on Christmas Day. And
we are mostly done with our leftovers. Our kitchen is an absolute wreck right now. We had talked about recording at my house. I'm so glad we didn't. I had young adult girls sacked out on the floor in a filthy kitchen. So, okay, reading and watching. Somebody else talk.
We just went and saw Rogue One yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
It was really good. Yeah, and for someone really who is such a, like, I'm you know, Star Wars fan from my childhood, and it was really, really good. I think my daughter, she said it was scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was very dark. I think it's not, and it's not too much of a spoiler alert to say, you know, it's like I think she had a hard idea with the concept of a suicide mission. Mm-hmm. But she felt the same way about Fantastic Beasts too, which I love Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. Oh, I forgot to put that down.
Yeah, oh yeah, that too. We saw that. You know, it's like, I'm not a huge, well, this sounds weird, but, you know, I read the Harry Potter books and they were okay, but I'm way more into Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, I think it's because it's a more adult story.
Mm, yeah.
And that my daughter thought was too scary, but I liked that way more than the Harry Potter books.
I haven't read the book.
I haven't, well, it's just a screenplay, but yeah.
Well, I don't know if we still have them, the little textbooks that they...
Oh, yeah.
We had that at one point. I don't know if we still do.
I feel like we're finally seeing more movies than we have in a very long time. But reading, quite frankly, I've sucked. I haven't been.
I haven't read anything in 2 weeks.
It's just been...
I had... Let's talk.
Yeah.
I had picked up Fate of the Tearling, which is the third book in a series by Erica Johansson. The first is Queen of the Tearling, and I loved that one. Middle book, I liked okay. I actually had to go back and read a synopsis of the second book when I started reading the third, because it had been a year and I didn't remember the details. I had started reading that, and then I was at work, and my coworkers started a Goodreads book club for the library earlier this year. And the book that they were reading was called Every Heart a Doorway by Seanan McGuire. And my coworker Lauren was talking about how much she absolutely loved it. That it's like fairy tale and dark, and it was a quick read. And I thought I only had one book left in my Goodreads challenge for this year. So I decided to buy it on Kindle. And started it, and it was really good. And I was like, if I buy the WhisperSeek add-on for Kindle, I can listen to it and read it both, and I can get it done, and I'll have met my 30 books for my challenge. And I did. I finished it. It was really good. I can highly recommend that book. It's okay. Especially, I think you would really like it. The the dark, like, kind of
fantasy. Yeah, the dark fairy tale is always...
Yeah, it was really good. And then I went and put it in my Goodreads, and I went and checked my challenge, and apparently I miscounted. It was number 29 of 30.
Oh,
and
this was
yesterday or maybe the day before. I was like, well, oh well.
So I didn't read as many books this year as I normally do.
Yeah.
It was like 36 or something like that.
I'm
over
anything.
50.
The one that the surprise one, I finished A Kim Jong-il production, the extraordinary true story of a kidnapped filmmaker, his star actress, and a young dictator's rise to power by Paul Fisher, which is nonfiction about exactly what it just said. And it was so good. It was, a lot of times, nonfiction, I kind of have to slog my way through. Like, I want to read nonfiction because it's a way to keep myself informed. And
it just depends on the nonfiction, right, though.
Yeah, and this was, it was very engaging. The writing style was great, and the story of this, I mean, it was just, you know, I learned an awful lot about North Korea, and, or at least, the guy, the author acknowledged at the end that, you know, everything you learn about North Korea, you have to remember that it's a very controlled society, so you never know exactly if this is propaganda or if it's, you know, what they're saying is propaganda. It could just as easily be that what we're reading is propaganda.
Right.
So,
right.
But it was still fascinating. I really liked that one. And then I also finished Deep South by Nevada Barr, which is an Anna Pigeon mystery. And this one was set on the Natchez Trace, which is in Mississippi, or goes from Mississippi through Tennessee. And I really enjoyed the book. The book itself was good, but then the fact that it was set in an area that I was very familiar with was great, and the character is an outsider, so it wasn't a romanticized version of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
It was very real, and it was really good. I really liked that one. Is that it? And yeah, that's all my reading. As far as watching goes, like I did see Rogue One. I saw Moana. We watched Moana. You're fine. I kind of got dragged after work. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday. Jimmy wanted to go with the kids, and my 18 and 20 year old, but they wanted to see Moana, and so we went. And I was worried I wasn't be able to stay awake, because going to the movies at night is a crapshoot. And it was so good. It was easily top five Disney movie for me.
I saw most of Moana. I went with our Girl Scout troop, which meant that every now and again, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I'd have to walk kids out to the bathroom, and then some would talk. And I'd have to be, shh. I'm gonna wait till it comes out on DVD, and then kick everyone out of the house and watch it by myself.
The music was great.
The music was fantastic.
If you are a fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda, you will like this. The crab was what's his name? Jermaine from
was one of those things that oddly enough, because of how it arranged, my husband was like on the other side of the theater, but we're like, was that Jermaine? And it took me the longest time to place the voice. I'm like,
So that I really, really
it was really good.
Actually, I found myself listening to the soundtrack, and
I got the Lego kit for the. I told you I got the Lego kit of like it's the ship, and Moana and Maui and Hey. And then it's got like a teeny little boat of like the little coconut people that you can fling at each other. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, it has something where you can fling one of the coconuts. Awesome. And then it has an island where you go fight the demon and save the goddess. And, you know, so it's like one of those really interactive Lego sets that I actually like to get. So,
what about you, reading, watching? You said you haven't read as much. You didn't read in 2 weeks.
The last two books I finished were The Whole Town's Talking by Fanny Flagg.
Oh.
It was weird. It started out this story of this man, you know, like a settler, I think it was in like Missouri, you know, from the old country of, I think, Sweden or Norway or something. Mm-hmm. And so he's in his late 20s, early 30s, and it's time to get a wife. And so he writes off, and someone answers his ad, and they exchange letters, and she agrees to come and marry him and stuff. And so the first half of the book was good. It was, you know, how Fanny Flagg develops the story, and there's always the extraneous characters and its family and its a community. And then mm-hmm. it's like she put the book down and picked it up like 3 years later to finish writing it. And so the first half of the book is really good. It's the story of, you know, this gentleman and developing the community and the town. And then people start dying off and it's the story at the cemetery without giving too much away. And it was just kind of weird and a little hokey after that.
I felt the same way about like Jonathan Lethem's Fortress of Solitude. It's like, if it could have stopped right in the middle, it would have been the perfect book. And like, why did you have to go on writing?
Well, and there was like a mystery, dark element. And I was just kind of like, it's just, I don't know. The tone changed in the middle of the book and, it was kind of weird. And then, I also finished the third book in the Hellions of Havisham series by Lorraine Heath, The Viscount and the Vixen. Mm-hmm. That's the story of Loxley, who's the son who, you know, has lived his life sheltered and, well, kind of sheltered, you know, by his father, who's, you know, still grieving for his dead wife 30 years later. And so that was okay. I think I gave that 3 stars, but I haven't read anything in over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nothing's come up or been available or like, you know, ooh, I want to read that now. And but I haven't felt good. And so it's just, we'll start something here in the next couple days.
I do like stop and start with, what's her name? Zoraida Cordova's Labyrinth Lost. It's a YA novel, and it's kind of like, the movie Labyrinth and Pan's Labyrinth, but it's, the basis is it's not Santeria, but it's like a religion that's like Santeria, and it's a girl who her family has powers and they all become brujas and they go through this process and she decides that she doesn't want to be a bruja. Mm-hmm. So she learns the spell that essentially sends all of her, there's always a repercussion for the spells you do. So when she rejected her power, she sends all of her family into the underworld. So she has to go and save them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, I've been stopping and starting and I mean, it's an entertaining read, but I haven't gotten very far. I got the recommendation from the blog Smart Bitches Trashy Books, and they really liked it, so I liked it. I just haven't been very faithful with my reading, just because I haven't felt like it, and I gotta change. That's one of my goals for this year, is like more reading time, and whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, okay, I had a lot on my best of, but I think maybe in the interest of time, and kind of maybe just talk about what was good this year. Because in a year that had a lot of downs, there were good things, for sure. I'm looking at my favorite. I had to, struggle to come up with, books. And watching wasn't. I'd say the best thing I saw this year was Stranger Things. I loved
it. Oh, my gosh, that was so good. Yeah.
So the two things I think that I want to talk about. Dining Adventures in Indianapolis. That was sort of trying to think of a food thing. And it wasn't anything I made. It was just, I went to a conference in Indianapolis, and my boss is big on going out at least one meal to a nice restaurant while we're there. And she apparently got that from another former coworker, Sima, of us. Apparently that was her thing to do too. I was there for 8 days. And she was there for 5. So we had picked, we ended up going to, let's see, 3 really nice meals. One was nice. It was the a steakhouse. What's the cooker? The grill. Weber Grill. They have a steakhouse. We went there and that was nice. But we went to 2 restaurants that were, you know, kind of like the trendy, hipstery kind of places. And the food was just really good. It was good times. It was really good food. Not not typical, like, chain fare. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what we got, but the thing I discovered there, or in both of those, is that I really like cocktails. Like, the little craft cocktails. That was just a lot of fun, and I think that kind of has colored some of my food choices this year.
We should take you on, like, our favorite food adventures. We discovered there's a place that opened up near our house, mm-hmm. Called Pele Pele Kitchen, and mm-hmm. it's a South African.
Yeah, I probably would really like that.
And it's, everything is kind of spicy sweet, and then mm-hmm. kind of comfort food, like yams and grilled cauliflower, mm-hmm. and then the beef, the closest thing, of course, you know, of course we have the Americanized version, but the closest thing in the Western would be, a Western world would be like Jamaican food. The beef is kind of, has that Jamaican jerk, that kind of spicy, mm-hmm. but everything's much more sweet mm-hmm. in a way.
Interesting.
And I will go there with anyone. It, like, that's been our greatest discovery this year has been Pele Pele Kitchen.
And the other thing, we had just a really great vacation this year when we traveled from here to the Southwest and like all over New Mexico and part of Colorado. And I think, like, that was definitely one of the highlights of our year. Ironically, I posted this blog post that said I was going to get back into blogging by writing about it, and I never actually did. I started a post and never finished it. I think that's one of my goals this year, is to try to write more. But,
yeah.
So what about y'all? What was good for you this year?
So we had and family-wise, one of my nephews lost a battle to mental health, mm-hmm. so we lost him in the spring. But we had a grandnephew be born, and so it's been a mixed bag, family wise. We did get a really good family vacation. That one was to West Virginia, and going, and it was just a cabin, and it was family and playing games, and that one was. I've gotten a lot more serious about taking vacations and taking time mm-hmm. to do them. And I got to see my parents too. So this is a year where we got to see family.
Yeah.
And that was really good.
Yeah.
So.
Good. What about you, Katie? Anything good?
Nothing good whatsoever.
No, it was just a crap year.
We didn't take a vacation. I mean, Wisconsin doesn't count. My husband changed jobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Went to End of the Wall.
Went to End of the Wall and adventures. Went to Stitches, so, I mean, that was nice.
And then going to Yellow Rose with y'all, that was really fun.
That reminds me, so this year, I don't know if you will get to go to TLA, and I know you don't usually go, but.
I don't know.
It is the week, TLA is Texas Library Association Conference. It's being held in San Antonio this year, and it's Wednesday through Saturday, and Yellow Rose is in Seguin, which is about an hour from San Antonio, on that Friday and Saturday. So my plan is, I have to go to TLA because I'm doing a presentation, but my plan is to come back and go to stop in Seguin on that Saturday and go to Yellow Rose. So if you happen to be...
I don't know whether I will or not. Yeah.
But,
I'd have to see who the vendors are if I'm going to go or not.
Yeah.
It's not like I need yarn.
No.
Again, you're using that word need, and I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I don't
I should show you my...
Oh, no.
We'll do a tour one day.
Well, even that being said, still.
Yeah.
You needed purple socks.
This is true.
So,
you need.
You know, you never know. You never know what you need. I need more green yarn for shawls, so there you go.
Right.
But I've reached, the part where it's, like, uncomfortable, where it's embarrassing, or I have so much that I cannot use it in a lifetime.
Now it's therapy.
Yeah. What's the word? There's an acronym people use.
Sable.
Sable, yeah. Stash.
Oh.
What's it? Something beyond lifetime expectancy or something required between, something like that. Yeah. Okay, well, this has been a long-winded one, but it's been fun. I hope everybody has a great 2017. Let's get the new year off to a good start hang in there. It will be better. It can't be worse. Let's hope for not worse. I think we haven't really discussed a recording schedule. It may be a once a month thing for a while. Yeah. We may try every 3 weeks. I've been kind of thinking about recording so that we could publish on the first of the month. Okay. So kind of trying to work it around there. I mean, sometimes maybe we'll record a week ahead of time or more, so that just have it ready to press publish. But I want to think about some knit-alongs and come up, with some ideas. I had an idea, and I don't remember what it was. But we'll talk, and hopefully we will talk to y'all again within the next month. Have a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.